Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Let's jump into a conversation on something that we all hope to do one day, retire. My dad is 74 years old and still working as a truck driver. He gets up every morning at 5, he heads out to the job site, and it's a job that he enjoys for the most part. It keeps him busy, he's connected with his younger coworkers, and he's out of the house. He's not retiring yet so that he can continue to pay the bills with ease. Meanwhile, my mother, who is 71, is retired. Though co-living in a shared space with a friend has been kind of the only real affordable option for her. Now, this is a universal reality for seniors, that question of when you can step away from your career and what your quality of life will be once you do so. So some folks, they might leave, but they go back to the workforce. And programs like the Senior Community Service Employment Program in Chicago allow older workers to do just that. They're helping them hone their talents, find jobs, and make ends meet. But recent federal funding cuts are wiping away those efforts. Program organizers have had to turn away seniors who want to sign up and send home their current staff. Without that money from the federal government, they say that some of their seniors could even end up homeless. Now, if you're retired or you're planning for retirement, or you've got parents who are on their retirement journey, this conversation's for you. What is the future of the community assistance program for seniors? How are the now furloughed workers coping financially? And what needs to be in place in order for older Chicagoans to thrive? Our guests will share their stories and answer those key questions for you. At the table, we had Cheryl Holman, who is CEO of the Community Assistance Programs, and three participants from the CAP programs for seniors, Patricia Johnson, Sandra Robinson, and Sharon Rainey. I began by learning about their career paths and their retirement journeys. Ms. Robinson kicked things off.
I started working for CAPS in 22.
In 2022.
January of 2022.
And were you close to retirement at the time, or what was it that brought you to the program?
Well, what brought me to the program was that I was in a car accident in September 21 of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point that the funding that I was supposed to be getting from my 401k had exhausted, my funding from my job had exhausted. Everything that I could get my hand on had exhausted. So now I'm behind. I'm getting behind in my bills. I got to find something that could help me at least overcome this dilemma that I'm in. You know, they wasn't trying to help me or anything. So somebody came up to, a friend of mine came up and said, well, why don't you come to CAPS? And that's how I got to CAPS.
That was your way in.
But I was telling you, CAPS is the most beautiful place to work at for a senior. I mean, it helps us make ends meet. It helps us to meet new people that's on the same level as you are. It helps you to get job skills that you never even knew anything about.
Yeah, all the things that you thought might have been over at this age. Right?
The
program sort of revives it.
It's never been a program like this before. And I think it's just wonderful to help the seniors out because a lot of seniors can't get back in the workforce because of their age.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not all the time about the money. It's also to share with these youths what they can do. If a person that's 50, 55, 60, 65, and 70 can work, I'm sure a person 18, 19, 20, 21 can work. They don't have to be out here robbing, stealing, shooting or hurting anybody or either carjacking. All they have to do is follow the lead of the elders, because we the one paved the way, right?
Absolutely. Let me get some more stories, and then we'll dig more into this, because there's a lot, as you heard me mention, a lot going on here, a lot to unpack.
Yes, it is.
Ms. Rainey, let me hear from you. Tell us your story.
I came to CAPS in February of 2023. I had worked for McDonald's for over 30-something years.
Okay.
I got sick with some ailments, and so I couldn't work anymore. And the money I had saved up was going away. And the owner that I worked for, when he sold his business, he didn't give anyone anything. So I was trying to do Uber and Lyft. Not a good deal for seniors, especially females.
I agree.
And so I got an email one day from CAPS. And I'm like, I used to deal with CAPS on the police staff for the restaurant. So then I opened it up. And it said, Seniors 55 and Over Program. Mm. I immediately called. I was told by one of the front counter receptionists, and she told me that when the next one was, I came. I went through orientation. I went through the 2.5 week process. I came back to get placed out to work at one of the locations. And I was told, can you man the phones for us right now? Sure. That was on a Monday. Tuesday. You coming back Tuesday? Came back Tuesday.
They liked you.
Can you come back Wednesday? I'll be there. So Thursday, my director, Ms. Anderson, said, we're going to put her in this program. She's going to stay here. Happiest thing I could hear.
Just like that.
Okay. And so I've been there. I've learned a lot dealing with other side of life with people. I've been a couple of positions. Now I am an actual staff member for CAPS. I am a case manager now.
Nice.
So yeah. I've had two different positions since then. And what I love about CAPS is it gives me something to do. It helps me make up the money that I wasn't making because I'm on disability.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only make so much. But CAPS has a thing of wanting you to be able to outdo what you couldn't do, to get over what you couldn't get over. So that helps you get to where you need to be. I love it because it keeps me moving, keeps me active. It's like another family.
Yeah.
My family, my father's 91. He loves that I'm at CAPS. He says, the only two things that get me out the house is CAPS going to work and church. That's it.
That's it.
So, all right. Well, it's just beautiful. CAPS does a lot for people.
Ms. Robinson, or Ms. Johnson, rather, you went back to work. Tell me why.
First of all, I growed up from the projects. Okay, so I went back to work. I was working. I have a strong working ethics. Also, will have a college degree, graduate without. I was working at a company that lost their funding.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there 10 years. So I walked out with no retirement money. But I had worked previously on jobs. So what I thought about, I made a decision that I was going to retire. Okay, so I took some time off or what have you. In the meantime, I did work another job, but
And this was as a social worker in the mental health
social
field.
Worker, yes. I made a decision on one job that I was ready to retire. So at that point, I stopped working for a year. So what I did, my money that I had for my retirement, I pulled it. I had to live off of it. So I found myself within 2 years, I need to go back to work because I had spent all of my money trying to live at the same lifestyle I had got conditioned to when I was working.
So the money only stretched for about a 2 year period before you decided I've got to go back into the workforce.
Now, in the meantime, I went online and I saw CAPS. So I made a decision I was going to CAPS, and I called, scheduled an appointment, went in. But to make it short, I got into the CAPS program in 23, August of 23. They put you through a training program for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
After the training program, I was sent out to a place. I was hired.
Yeah.
Okay. In the meantime, I was hired by Casa Esperanza, was a transitional housing program. Okay, when we lost our funding, my director called us in. It was three of us. She hired two of us. Okay, so at this time, I do have a job. But the bottom line is, I would never forget CAPS, and I would do what I provide them with support because the time when I was really in need, CAPS was there.
Yeah. And Cheryl, this is a good time to bring you in here as our CEO of this program that the ladies are speaking so wonderfully about. There's a real underlying issue here, right? We're hearing different stories of leaving the workforce at retirement age, coming back for various reasons, all sort of connected to the struggle to make ends meet when you're no longer doing that Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Talk more about the obstacles, though, that adults face at this stage, right? When you come back to the labor market as a senior, what's that like?
Well, when you are a senior in our communities, they get an average of $1,000 a month in Social Security. If they're fortunate, they can get subsidized housing. They can get SNAP food stamps, but that still adds up to less than $2,000 a month. Who can live off that? The CSEP program was created to help community organizations. They work at nonprofits. They can work at government agencies. And the training they get is invaluable because nobody else is offering. CSEP is the only senior workforce program that there is. And this story that you're hearing today, there are millions of seniors that are singing the same song.
Yeah.
So we have to come out on advocacy, and we're, you know, coming together because there are other agencies that are doing this because they're trying to zero that money out.
Yeah. Listen, as you said that there are millions of seniors with the same song, the retirement age was raised to 67. Mm-hmm. According to the National Council on Aging, for almost half of adults over 60 in this country, their average income is below the standard that's needed to just afford the basic necessities.
That is right.
And the numbers are just growing.
Yes.
You're all nodding. Yep. So does retirement, the way that we all dream of retirement, does that feel financially out of reach, Ms. Robinson?
Well, in a sense, I think it is because I've worked all my life. I've worked all my life and they've not even given me a fraction of what I work for. So I'd be wondering sometime where the rest of that money going to when they could double it up and give it to me all up in one lump sum, or they y'all can do something where I can do some good with it. I work for it, but I'm not getting no answers on that. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I have to take what they giving me to live.
Do you feel like you had to compete with younger applicants?
Yes, you do. Unfortunately, you do. The younger applicants, to me, where they want to work, but they don't want to work. It's like they come to work, but they're not going to do the work. You know, whereas the seniors, they want to work. They want to get out the house. They want to be involved. They want to be active. And then they also need the financial support. And they're more dependable. Mm-hmm. We are a very dependable group of people. We know what we have to do. We go in and do it. There's no calling out because I woke up late. We're on our way. We're there.
I mean, you've been doing it for a long time. Like
so
just
many
the
years.
Idea
so
of
many,
getting
yes.
up and going to
yes.
a job.
So many years.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're well-oiled machines at that
yes.
point.
Absolutely.
What's it been like for you, Ms. Johnson? Are you feeling the competition sometimes with younger applicants, or is it?
I feel the competition, but I try to stay open-minded for the simple fact that majority of youth are coming, sometimes it's their first time coming into the workforce. So I try to lead by example. So a lot of times I train them to do different things in my level that I'm on. So you have to like stay open-minded for the simple fact that a lot of young people have the computer knowledge skills. So at the same time, I'm going to get skills from them, and they're going to get skills from me. So I try to make it like a win-win situation.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Cheryl, you found out that the program was going to stop being funded, right, earlier this month.
Right.
And that some people would be furloughed. Talk us through what that was like, first of all. And did you get a reason as to why the Department of Labor wasn't going to be funding this anymore?
Well, CSEP's not in the budget for next year. they zeroed out. So,
but that's an intentional decision.
There you are. And what's sad about it is a lot of legislators don't even know that the program exists, and they don't know what it does. They think it's a work program that they're supposed to quickly go back to work. Well, everybody requires training. So when they furlough, that's what they're calling it, the funds for the program are there. They're not being released until they are told they can be released. And we don't hear the dynamics of that.
Yeah.
We just know that we were told as of July 1, we could not have them working because DOL was not paying. And that is devastating. That's like, imagine for a moment if somebody came to you one day, you were working the day before, because we had no notice about it. We got a few days notice, and we have 100 people working. They work for employers to train. That's the method of training that they get after our training. So they work for an employer. They pick up those skills, and the theory is that the employer hires them, and they do. And because of this crisis, we are getting employers are hiring people, because they don't want to lose these workers.
Yeah.
But we have a waiting list of over 100 people now. And we stopped taking names because we can't tell them what's going to happen. So when you just imagine you had a paycheck this day and next day you don't, you still have rent, you still have to eat. We're back to that era where people ate cat food. They had to medication or food. Which one?
What?
That's where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
That is
mm-hmm.
where we are. They don't have
people
money.
People are choosing between
that's right.
paying for their meds.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
eating
Absolutely.
Cat
that's
food
right.
for dinner.
Yes.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. Or
mm-hmm.
light
yeah.
bill.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I was, just to follow back on what she said.
Yeah.
I had worked that Wednesday. Then my boss called me that Thursday.
To tell you the news?
Yes. Yes. And I was devastated for the simple fact that you get accustomed to having so much money coming
Talking
in.
Talking to the mic for me.
You get accustomed of having so much money coming into your house financially. I was in emotionally shocked. I was like, what am I going to do to pay my bills the next
yeah.
2 weeks?
Mm.
It's devastating.
But you were given a lifeline then, as you
yes.
explained earlier. So
mm-hmm.
you are still, I just want to be clear, you're still,
yes.
Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson, you're still working.
Right.
Ms. Robinson, not the case for you. Is
it's
that right?
It's not the case for me.
You are furloughed.
I was like doing the training and to get prepared to get into the workplace, which I believe my boss and them was going to hire me. But then this happened, you know, so they just as devastated as I am. You know, they are really devastated because we reliable. We come in, we do the work, we don't complain. We just do what we need to do.
So what's your plan now? What do you do now?
Well, only thing I can just pray to God that we get our program back and that, you know, we'll be able to go back into learning and you know, teaching if we have to,
mm-hmm.
teach a few, learn a few.
I mean, so
you
far,
know, doing
you've,
what we need to do.
You've learned some skills so far through CAPS.
Yes, I've learned a lot of skills.
I wonder
CAPS.
If that now makes you marketable for yes. some other positions.
Yes,
right. absolutely.
Right? That would be the hope.
Yes.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I'm 67 years old. Okay, a lot of jobs is not hiring 67 years old, 70 or 75. But CAPS program made it easy and mm-hmm. simple for the seniors where they don't have to just stay home and die, but they can get out there, get back into the workforce,
mm-hmm.
be energetic, feel good about themselves, and help others.
Yeah. What went through your mind, Ms. Rainey, just seeing what's happened to a lot of your colleagues here, that they were being furloughed?
When I first heard it, we got called into the office and we were told, and I was like, what are my seniors going to do? Because I consider I was over the program, so I was considering, what are my seniors going to do?
Absolutely.
And once they got out, they started calling. And I was reassuring them. I would call, talk to them all the time. Ms. Robinson called me all the time. I would talk to people all the time. And it was just, it was really upsetting and disappointing, you know, because not because of CAPS, but because someone decided they didn't want to give us something that would help the society of seniors. And it's hard because some of them call me upset. I get calls every day at work. We get calls. Have they heard any word yet? No, we haven't. We're sorry. You know, what am I going to do? You know, I give them suggestions, you know, things they probably can do in the meanwhile to keep right. busy. So it's like, it's very devastating.
And you don't have all the answers.
No, I don't. Only thing I could do is just give them encouragement and that it's going to come, that's going to change.
You told a producer, Ms. Rainey, that the CAPS program helped some feelings of depression that you experienced.
Yes. It helped. A lot of people say they were shut in, they didn't get out the house. And then I had an issue. I was going through something with my mom and then wasn't able to get a job. And then it's like it woke me up. When when I went to the class, I enjoyed it. Then when I stopped working, it changed everything for me. Everything. Because it gave me another purpose to do something, to help myself, and to do things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And CAPS is very, very important to me. And it's very important to all our seniors.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to my director, the CEO, mm-hmm. everyone that is involved in this. And so CAPS is so important to this time and age with the society, with what they're going through. Because it's hard out here with pricing of food,
yeah. mm-hmm.
pricing of rent, pricing medication. Of just clothing. You can't do the things you used to do. Just going to the store sometimes, you have to decide, okay, if I got a little bit of toothpaste left, maybe I can just let's stretch this out to next time. You know, you have to decide the simple things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the bread that says is on sale for is 2 or 3 days old. I'm going to get that instead of getting it comes down to that.
Some decision making that yes. not everybody has
yes.
to make.
And everybody doesn't have the opportunity to make that decision.
Yeah, we were supposed to be joined today by another colleague of yours, Tammy Spivey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She wasn't able to join us last minute, but she had a very similar story. Mm-hmm. In her case, she was working at a school and was furloughed, right? She was working, CAPS got her ready, mm-hmm. job ready for a school. Mm-hmm. She was furloughed as well earlier this month, and she told our producers how concerned she was about, you know, having to choose now between medication and right. food, as we've been discussing.
Mm-hmm.
So Cheryl, I mean, what's needed here in order to make it possible for seniors to retire and retire comfortably?
There has to be a safety net. And I think the state should take some responsibility for it, too. There should be money set aside for seniors to do things. There are a lot of senior programs to give activities, but to pay them to work
yeah.
and learn new skills, they don't.
And we should be clear, the state and federal funding is
federal
is cut,
funding.
Right?
Yes. We really have to rally. Mm-hmm. And people that have a senior parents, or they know that this is necessary because the burden's on everybody right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody's suffering, even people that are younger. And, you know, we have a lot of young kids and they're feeling it also. So it's not something that's just one group, but the seniors are suffering the most. And how can you fix your face to ask seniors to go back to work?
Mm-hmm.
They worked all their lives.
All
now they have to
life.
Go back just to eat. This is America.
Yeah. Ms. Johnson?
I think that it's important for the mayor, also for the governor, to consider seniors. When it comes to election time, last year CAPS gave a job fair at Kennedy King College. While we were there, we were able to vote. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
The contributions seniors have made to society. And it's not like they're giving us something back.
Mm.
It's something that majority of seniors have worked, made a contribution to society, and they deserve to be treated fairly.
You feel like seniors are an afterthought.
Yes.
If I understand you correctly.
Yes.
Ms. Rainey, I got to go back to you because you are so emotional here at the table. What? Talk me through it. What's going on?
It's just hard to see the people that I work with. They call me and have issues going on, and I try to talk to them about it, and they talk to the other people at the job, and they talk to them,
mm-hmm.
and I'm 67. I'll be 67. So it's very hard to see that my parents worked all their lives, so when it was time for them to retire, they was able to retire. Now it's my time to retire, and I can't even retire without having to think about different things, you know? So it's if I need something done here, I got to wait, see how I can get it done on this side.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to see Miss Spivey didn't come today, but she has to decide between eating and taking medication.
Yeah. That's tough.
And that's hard.
And my heart hurts for Miss Robinson right now, right? Because you're waiting for just the possibility of the White House turning a corner.
And they should consider, because we paved the way for a lot of this stuff that's going on right now. They just don't see it. They're not recognizing it. Because we matter. Senior matters too. You know, so we didn't pave the way, you know, but now we want to get back to where we belong, where we can do what we do to live.
Yeah.
Not stay at home, not getting out in no yard, not getting in no garden, but out there back into the workplace.
Your livelihood.
Mm-hmm. Where we can get back and, you know, feel good about ourselves, you know, and be able to spend money on, like she said, either your medication or your food, but maybe
how about you buy them
both? Get both of them.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
They help you to get both of them.
Yeah. So Cheryl, leave us with this. What is next for the program, as far as you know right now?
As far as we know,
there's so much up in the air, right?
Yeah. The education is the most important thing, is to make sure that both sides of the aisle understand the CSEP program and how valuable it is and necessary it is for our seniors in this day and time. We need more workers. There'll be more seniors than there will be anybody else. Mm-hmm. And how are you going to run this country? Think about it. They have to have more of a safety net.
Yeah. We'll leave it there for now. That's Cheryl Holman, who's a CEO of the Community Assistance Program, and three participants from the Senior Community Service Employment Program. We had Patricia Johnson, Sandra Robinson, and Sharon Rainey. Thank you all so much.
You're welcome.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Dan Tucker, and mixed by Micah Yasin. We bring you conversations about how national policies affect local Chicagoans, so please consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode. Thanks so much for listening. We'll meet again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.